I think at the end of the day, it's, like we were saying about about rates and about this buying and selling, and the same comparable to rates. Like, look at the data, compare that data properly, and ensure on the buy or the sell side you're doing so for the right reason, whether that's a home that you need to live in or that you like, not just for a quick buck. Because so many people had that mentality over the past couple of years of just buying, for that quick buck that it's going to go up in 2 months, and and then unload it, or whatever it may be. Think about the long term. Go back. We need people to go back to the 2019 mentality of buying because you're buying to live in, and or you're buying to invest in that property for the long term, not short term, and looking at that long term gain.
You're listening to the Ottawa Real Estate Podcast with your hosts, Paul Stevenson, David Warren, and Greg Campbell. Let's see what's going on in the world of real estate today.
Yes. We're back. Hello, everyone. Welcome to February. This is the Ottawa Real Estate Podcast. We are here and we're back.
We are.
My name is Paul Stevenson. I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Gregory Campbell, Mr. David Warren. And we like to talk about real estate, mortgages, finance, traveling. It's now a travel vlog. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to our channel. Make sure to give us a vote if you can. We've been nominated for Podcast of the Year by Faces Magazine. The voting closes in about a week's time. So if you have a chance today, pop over there, give us a vote, and drop some votes on everyone else that you know in the city too. Gentlemen, how are we doing? How's the week?
Good. I'm always curious about who nominates us for that.
It wasn't self-nominated. It wasn't a self-nominated, I'll say this time. I think last year we might have self-nominated, but this year definitely did not.
Steven probably secretly driving in nominations. Producer of the year, hey? Steven Hopkins. Yeah. He's a winner in our book for sure. So what's going on, gents? How we shaping up? You guys are on the road. I'm finally back home. I'm feeling great. Happy to see my usual background here, looking out at some crisp white snow, some winter sun. Happy to be home.
Happy to be home, my Carmen San Diego. Where in the world is Carmen San Diego? it's really interesting. I just want to get into something quickly here, just off the jump, We've been saying on the last few shows that it's been busy. There's been some multiple offers. Buyers are coming out. Homes are selling. But we do want to be clear, or I want to be clear anyways, that the numbers are still down. The numbers of sales are still down. The price, final sales price of most homes is still down versus last year, versus the last few months. So no one needs to get excited and think that I'm just promoting a hot market. It's getting hot, but we're still down. So we can talk more about that as the show.
It's getting lukewarm. It was cold, it's getting lukewarm.
Yeah, it's warming up. It's like the taps starting to slowly get in that hot water.
I had a friend, a realtor friend yesterday said they had an open house and it was quite busy. So I think as you said, maybe not busy yet, but there's a lot of people lingering. Waiting. Mm-hmm. We were talking before we came on too, that we've been seeing the fixed rates dropping. There's actually now a pretty big variance between variable and fixed, in some cases over 1%. Excuse me.
Oh my gosh. Oh, get that cough under control there.
In some cases over 1%, which is wild. Usually, even a 0.5% difference where fixed is lower than variable is pretty substantial, but we also said that, I think, Dave, you mentioned it was about 70% of people during the pandemic over the last couple of years took variable. So mm-hmm. I think now, with those interest rates rising, Bank of Canada increasing their rate again, there's a lot of people that are financially tight. The bond rates have come down. The Canadian mortgage bond has come down. So we're seeing fixed rates follow suit, and it looks like they're going to continue trending that way. So we might even see a larger disparity between fixed and variable somewhere in the maybe 1.5 range, even in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I think we've got a graph up here. Definitely hit a high in in June and earlier in the year. It's come down since. This is based on the 5-year bond, which is what drives the 5-year fixed. 2- and 3-year bonds are different bonds. Those have not come down. So they're just still elevated. They're high fives. Like, you know, your typical 2-3-year fix are still in the high fives, where on an insured 5-year, you're kind of in that 4.69 range. So there is still a big disparity between those as well. But to your point, variable is significantly, you know, that gap between variable and fixed is pretty immense right now, and certainly possibly growing. The latest increase, the Bank of Canada did outline that they were going to put a pause on things. However, soon following that, the U.S. Fed did a 0.5-point jump in their overnight rate. And Canada typically has to follow suit in a lot of cases, because otherwise it drastically affects the Canadian dollar. So even though they mentioned that they're going to put a pause on it and see how the economy takes shape, I think they do have to make some judgment calls based on how the U.S. is affected and what those, you know, what that inflationary and employment data is showing.
Yeah, and I should just to backtrack. I know we kind of assume that our listeners are as well informed or at least as knowledgeable in the market as we are. Some may not know what, you know, I'm sure they probably have heard of bonds. You know, you can invest in bonds and so on, but the CMB or the Canadian Mortgage Bond essentially helps stabilize access to mortgage funding in all economic conditions. So the CMB program lets approved financial institutions pool eligible insured mortgages into marketable securities. So investors can actually buy these securities, and that generates funds for residential mortgage financing. So the CMB has a direct impact on fixed rates. You mentioned, Dave, like the 5-year has come down. I expect 5-year rates probably to continue to drop at least another maybe 0.25% even in the coming week. And I actually had a few people that we were in the process of, they haven't accepted offer, they're closing in April, but we're actually waiting because lenders at times will actually allow you to float down the rate. So if you lock in a rate today, and let's say rates drop in 2 weeks time, some lenders will actually allow you to, at one time between the time you submit and the closing, you can actually float that rate down to the lower of the two rates. So I had a client who we kind of were having that discussion over the weekend, and they said, well, why don't we wait another week or two if you think rates are going to come down so that we can submit and still have that extra kind of buffer of that one float down. So it'll be interesting to see how that impacts the landscape, especially if we're seeing such a huge variance, like, you know, 1 to 1.5% between the fixed and variable. How many new applicants are going to be going fixed as opposed to variable, which, as we said, was close to 70% of the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, all those variable clients as well, all if they were adjustable rate mortgages, meaning that they fluctuate their payments along with Bank of Canada, they will have hit their, you know, they will have continued going up. Other banks have a variable rate mortgage, which is a static payment, regardless of what happens with interest rates, but they do have a trigger point, meaning as once the interest supersedes, you know, what that overall monthly payment is, the bank requires you to increase your payments in order to meet what that requirement is and be paying down the mortgage, so it's not reversing the amortization. So in Canada, all of those homeowners have hit their trigger points. So either having to voluntarily or not voluntarily, forcefully increase their payments or make a lump sum payment. So we are seeing a lot of people looking into switching banks, looking at what fixed rate options are out there. But at the same time, you know, I am still having conversations with people where variable still makes sense depending on what their plans are and what their time horizons are, because of just where the 2- and 3-year fixed is. They still think, you know, they believe that variable will maintain status quo over the year and start dropping. So they're, you know, still looking at that, or because of the penalties associated being lower, that they, you know, maybe have plans to only be in that house for a year, 2 years. And still, so it still makes sense from a numbers perspective due to the penalty. So it does really come down to what that individual's goals are and kind of plans with that property.
Like we've said many times, it's like, make sure you know exactly what type of product you're getting into. You know, don't just get in for the lowest rate thinking that that's the actual best mortgage for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can't express how many times I say that to clients, you know, when they're just shopping rates. It's like, mm-hmm. You know, shop for the product. Don't shop for the rate.
And compare apples to apples. You know, there's a lot of ask the questions of, you know, what the penalties are. Are there restrictions? Some of these low rates advertised online or by some brokers are restrictive. You can't refinance that out of that mortgage. You can't transfer to a different bank. You can't. The only way of breaking that mortgage is from a sale, and that's the only way. And even at that, the penalties are, some of them are even as high as 3% of the outstanding balance as being the penalty. So kind of looking at and asking what those restrictions are in that mortgage product, so that when you're comparing rates, it's not just one rate versus the other. It's okay, we are comparing two like products.
Yeah, I had a family member go into they have a renewal coming up end of February. They went into their local branch to discuss the renewal with their advisor, and they were looking at a 3-year fixed. And they said, you know, because you're a long-term client, we're going to give you the preferred rate of 5.61. And there are some lenders that are sub 5% right now for 3-year fixed. So we kind of had to have that conversation. And funny enough, they told him, he said, you know, my brother's a broker. It's my brother, obviously. My brother's a broker. And, you know, he said he'd be able to get X rate with this lender. And they said, oh, well, you know, you got to be careful with brokers. There's sometimes some underlying, you know, asterisks and things that they don't tell you. And he kind of laughed, thinking like, you know, like you're talking about my family here, probably not going to try to screw me over purposely. But that's still a common misconception. I know working at the bank too, is, you know, there was a lot of shade thrown at brokers that were, you know, not looking out for people's best interests. And, you know, with the huge fees associated with working with a broker, and obviously none of those things are accurate. But at the same time, you know, you do want to do your due diligence, as you said, like ask the right questions and make sure you're comparing apples to apples. So you're not just getting put into a product that, you know, the sticker tag might look like it's on sale, but when it comes time to move or transfer or refinance, and you get hit with that, you know, non-refundable clause or 3% penalty or whatever it might be, you're going to be regretting that decision. So just make sure you're asking the right questions and having those conversations at least.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, Greg, I know we're beginning of the month, so likely some stats for last month have come out. I know you mentioned the kind of that.
I do. I have some stats here, some numbers that, you know, will make some people think that they're going to want to, that they should wait longer. That's what these stats would assume looking at this, but I would say hell no, get going. So the Ottawa last month, 606 properties sold in January, or also known as last month, compared to 933 in January 2022, which is a 35% decrease. Now, that's not a surprising number. January last year was insanity. So January sales included 460 freehold properties, down 30%, and 146 sales in the condominium category, which is a decrease of 47% from January 2022. Five-year average total unit sales for January is 819. It's a pretty big slowdown. So let's look at some of the numbers here. By the numbers, average prices. The average sale price for a condominium in January was $412,000, decrease of 8%. The average sale price of a freehold property, $676,000, decreasing 12% from a year ago. So now that's a decrease of 12% from a year ago, and that's still, you know, that's way less than what it would have been in February and March. So those, you know, I'm anxious to see what the numbers look like in the next couple of months, especially because I believe that the sales and the prices will be a little bit higher in February and March compared to January. That's what I think anyways. Months of inventory has increased to almost 4 months of inventory versus not even a month year over year. Yeah, that's for condominium and freehold. So like we've got a lot, there's a lot available on the market right now. New listings. We had 1,324 new listings. That's 16% higher than 2022. And that's up 89% from December 2022. So the new listings are there. Buyers, pay attention. Go shopping. A lot of opportunities out there. A lot of opportunities. I got to say, on a personal level, I had four properties that had been marketed online for sale since October that didn't sell. They are now sold in the last week or conditionally sold in the last 7 days. So that's, that tells me something for sure. And ironically, we didn't really drop the price too much over the 4 months. So we kind of listed it where we thought it was worth. We did do a price reduction. We had to, and you know, but we ended up getting them sold. So that's exciting. And we have two new lists. I have three new listings coming out in the next couple of weeks. So, I mean, there's opportunity, you know, sellers still want to sell their homes and move on. Or the one that we're working with is selling an investment property. Mm-hmm. They rented, mm-hmm. they bought it new. They rented it for 1 year and then they're in Toronto. They just they weren't a big fan of the process. So we're putting it on the market for sale. All different types of scenarios. Another client of mine is has been living overseas for years, plans on buying over there now, so selling his condo. You know, so it's just happening. People want to sell. Buyers, pay attention. That's what I say.
I think some of that is like those two scenarios even are, you know, a byproduct of that increased rate as well. A lot of these, mm-hmm. you know, you mentioned weeks ago, the, you know, number of vacant properties that you went through. Obviously, investors that rates have gone up or they can't, you know, the cash flow on that property isn't able to sustain it or anything like that. So it's kind of creating this increase of inventory for investors that might have, you know, where their rates have come up or their payments have come up and not able to stomach the payments. I certainly see that with a number of my clients, but at the same time, the last few weeks, I've seen a huge influx of people reaching out for pre-approvals, purchase agreements, you know, two last night where they had to go list price. They were able to get conditions, but had to go list price because they were in multiples. It was something where, you know, they weren't going over ask, but they were able to include conditions, but it was 3 days of conditions. You know, they had to shorten it up and go list. Another one where they actually had to go slightly over again with able to get conditions, but there was another competing offer. And so they had to be aggressive on it. Again, these are anecdotal, you know, these are, you know, a small snippet of this, of kind of the market, but I'd say between the three of us and what we're seeing, it kind of gives a decent snapshot of what's going on, I feel.
I think so. I froze there for a minute. I might have missed a little bit, but I'm here now. You guys can hear me okay, yeah?
Oh, perfect. Okay. Yeah, we actually have a question on YouTube that kind of feeds into exactly all this. So there was one comment that said, I can't believe people are still buying with zero conditions after all the horror stories we've heard from the news over the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And then funny comment says, I think my favorite part of the mood boost is watching David's reaction. It's just a look of what am I meant to do with this information? And then the actual question here says, do you guys think now is a better time to sell my home and go shopping in the spring and summer when there may be more listings to choose from? In other words, do you think we will have more new sellers trying to sell in the spring compared to the number of new or delayed buyers entering the market come this spring or summer?
I, you know, personally, I mean, you guys know my answer. If you're just buy now, if you see the right home, just buy. Mm. Like, I mean, if there's something you like, go for it. If you don't, then wait. In terms of selling your home now, yeah, I mean, it's the same scenario. It's like you can't plan, like it's all in your mind. If you're trying to, what's the word I'm looking for here? If you're trying to buy the dip, basically is what I'm saying. You know, if you're always just waiting for that perfect storm, it's not like chances are it's not going to happen. So if you're ready to sell now, like I believe that there are buyers that will be shopping, but you really need to know your neighborhood and your home's true value. So like if you have a townhome that's worth say 600,000 and then there's 10 others in the neighborhood that are all listed at 600,000, well then what are you going to list at? Mm-hmm. You're going to list it probably 580. Mm-hmm. You listed 580 and your mm-hmm. home is just as good as all those other ones. You're either going to sell it at 580 or you might get 600 for it. So that's the whole mentality. But then you got to remember, well, if I listed 580, then, you know, what if I only get 580? It's like, well, what if you only get 580? Then maybe your home is only worth 580 in the current market. And the other ones that are at 600, they're all going to sit for the next 3 months until they come down to 580. And then buyers buy it at 580 based on your value because you price yours properly for your neighborhood and for the market. So you really got to look at that. And I'm dealing with that right now with listings where we have sellers who are, well, our home is worth this, you know, and then based on the other numbers, it's like, well, you know, maybe it is worth this, but you really have to pay attention to what's going on. If nothing sells in 2 weeks and we're all at the same price, then do you want to be the first one to drop or do you want to be the last one to drop? Because if you're the last one to drop in price, then you will sell at much less than the first one that sold at the lesser price. And the same thing goes with buying. You know, there's going to be, if there's 10 homes for sale that you like, or let's say if there's 5 homes for sale that you could live in, just start offering. If it's 600, you think it's worth 580, offer 580. If you don't get it, and then you're not stuck on that home, go on to the next one, offer the same price. Mm-hmm. You know, it just depends on what you really want. If you really love something and you want to buy it, just go buy it and pay the market value. Or, you know, if the seller negotiates, you just got to think about the difference of what it's worth in terms of, you know, your affordability versus getting a deal, you know, because getting a deal is more like, anyways, I'm not big on, you know, I like people that get a good price for their home, both on the listing side and the selling side. But when it turns into the mentality of getting a deal, I just think that you're buying a home for the wrong reason.
I was just going to say that.
Home to live. You're not buying a home to, it's not the casino. Sorry, Paul.
No, I cut you off. No, I agree. And I think that's the kind of the mentality that people have. It's like, they don't want to look like a fool and buy for, you know, 10,000 more than the home's going to be in a month from now or something like that. But, you know, that $10,000, if you want to save that 10,000, you know, buying it now, and maybe it's like any investment, if you're looking at it as an investment, it might go down that 10,000, but in 25 years, when you pay off your home, like the 10,000 is a drop in the bucket. It literally makes no difference. Your payment might be, you know, $10 more a month or something, or probably even less than that. So the difference of trying to save that or trying to play the market, you're going to lose. Like anytime you wait and you're not buying for the right reasons, as you said, Greg, the market is going to go up and then it's going to be too late. And you're going to be on the sidelines being like, I should have bought, I shouldn't have waited, you know? So if you need a home, as you said, buy it and buy because you love the home and you want to live in it for the next 10, 15 years, you know, don't buy it because you think the market's going to shift in 2 months and you're going to make a quick profit and sell it. Right. I mean, buy because you need a home or buy it because you want an investment. Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong going into the process. You know, you're starting the process. You want to buy a home. There's nothing wrong going into the scenario, you know, like, yeah, okay, I'm fired up. Let's come in under, let's see where this can go. I like negotiating. You know what I mean? If you like negotiating, there's nothing wrong with that. Like that's part of our business. We do negotiate all the time, but don't go in as that's the sole focus. Like, if I don't get it at this price, see you later. I mean, if that's how you're shopping, I guess you can do that, but that means you're just not really trying to buy a home that you really care about to live in. You're trying to buy it as a flip or something that you can sell down the road. And that is not really happening right now.
It's pretty impossible to also time the bottom. I'm waiting for the bottom. Every area, like we've talked about with stats, every area has a different timing of when they're hitting that, you know, proverbial bottom, or prices are changing, or sales figures are changing between Orleans and Stittsville, you know, or whatever it may be, or comparing Ottawa to Toronto. We're in the same province, but the sales figures are significantly different. There are other outside factors driving those markets. So I think the biggest is, like you said, what's your motivation on purchasing that property, or what's your motivation on selling? Like, you know, that question of whether I should wait to sell. Well, can you wait to sell? Like, do you need to sell now, or is it something you need to sell later? Are you looking for a home to upsize or downsize, and it's something you just need to do now because of life circumstance? Like, you need to really evaluate that as well. It's just like, you know, like you both said, it's got to be for that right reason.
And I got to tell you another thing. I've had some listing calls lately. I've done some opinions of values for properties, and you guys know me, like I don't mess around. I tell you the truth. I don't try to buy the listing. I know that the service that we offer is above what a lot of realtors will offer. Mm-hmm. But when they come to me, you know, I had somebody come, I just had somebody come to me that was looking for an opinion of value. And she'd asked me 2 years ago, and she ended up working with somebody else because my price was too low. So she listed at a certain price. She dropped their price. She never sold. Okay. Now she comes back to me again. The price I gave her is $50,000 less than that price was. And it was $25,000 less than I think what I had told her back at that time. So am I going to get the listing? I highly doubt it, but I foresee the same thing happening. You know, so it's like, you just make sure, get three agents in to see your house. If you're selling, don't just take that first refusal or first refusal. Wow. Yeah. Now I'm really in it. That first referral that you get, source out some other people and just have some good conversations, because you might be surprised at who you end up working with. You got to find that right fit for yourself. And don't just go for someone who gives you the highest price, because in your mind, you see dollars, I'm going to get it, and let them sell you on, I'll do this and you'll get this price. If it doesn't make sense, make sure you're presented with all of the data for your exact home in your exact neighborhood over the last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, month, 2 months, and just go back 6 months. Just make sure you can see everything. Get all of that data. If the realtor is not providing you very specific data, then you're already lost. Don't get impressed by all the smoke and mirrors, you know, because there are some realtors that still do that. You know, they just put on a big show and they impress, and then, you know, you go with it. And then, you know, the discussions change when it doesn't sell. That's the thing. I refuse to be in a situation where I'm going to list at a price where I can't have an open conversation with a client and, you know, and keep that relationship, even if things don't go well, like they didn't for those last 4 months. But now we got it done. So look at me. I feel like I'm selling myself here now. This is brutal.
No, you make a good point. And I wonder how often that happens, where people, you know, maybe haven't sold their home in 15, 20 years. And, you know, they get the, like you said, the circus shows up and sells them on the dream. But, you know, you have to remember, as you said, Greg, like, if you're not seeing comparables or specific reasons why it should be listed at that price point, and they're just basing it on, you know, well, what do you think your home's worth? 600? Well, I think it's 625. You know, I can actually probably get that up a little higher just to get them excited. That's only going to lead likely to disappointment. And the realtor who's coming in on the buying side is going to actually have the numbers. Like, they're going to have comparables. They're going to be driving that price down to where it should be anyways. So I don't understand why anyone would do that just to get the listing, because you're fighting an uphill battle from day one. But it sounds like that, at least based on what you said, that's still happening, unfortunately. Maybe that's why there's just so many homes on the market, because that's happening. People are pricing them too high or selling the dream.
I mean, well, and to be fair, it's been hard to price in the last little while with all the changes, so there's that element as well. So it's I'm sure it's a little bit of both, but the, you know, the good agents are having the proper conversations where it's like, you know, we could try this if that's what you think based on what I'm saying. As long as, you know, in 10 days from now, if we have no activity, then you reduce to my price of what I suggest. You know, that's a different story. And that's a great way to build a relationship and trust, as long as that's open. You know, it's just, you know, I hear stories sometimes about, you know, my realtor, we worked with him because he was so impressive, and that we listed at the price that we wanted. He was so excited, and then he just disappeared. When there was no showings, and, you know, he wasn't returning our calls. And I'm just like, man, like, talk about giving the business a bad name, right?
Yeah, it happens. That's terrible. I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, like we were saying about about rates and about this, and buying and selling, and the same comparable to rates. Like, look at the data, compare that data properly, and ensure on the buy or the sell side you're doing so for the right reason, whether that's a home that you need to live in or that you like, not just for a quick buck. Because so many people have that mentality over the past couple of years of just buying, you know, for that quick buck, that it's going to go up in 2 months and, you know, and then unload it, or, you know, whatever it may be. Think about the long term. You know, go back, you know, we need people to go back to the 2019 mentality of buying, because you're buying to live in, and or you're buying to invest in that property for the long term, not short term, and looking at that long term gain of that property. Well, should we dip into the mood boost? You got any there, Paul?
I got a few. I had a month worth of calendar boosts to flip through, so I grabbed some of the ones that I liked most. I got four today, gentlemen. And here we go. Number one. How is the snow globe feeling after the scary story? A little shaken. A little shaken. Number two. Did you hear about the Italian chef that died? He passed away. Number three, what do you call a man who can't stand? Neil. Last but not least, number four, what did the schizophrenic bookkeeper say? I hear invoices.
Oh, jeez. That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
Thank you for listening. If you're still here, go over to YouTube, subscribe, leave us a comment or a review, and we do answer. If you have questions, throw them on there. We'll get to them on the next episode. And be sure to vote on Faces. I think it's faces.ca/awards. We've been nominated for Podcast of the Year in Ottawa, second year in a row. And hopefully you have some time. Give us a vote. Why not?
All right.
We'll be back next week, everyone. Have a good one.
Deuces.
Deuces.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please remember to like, share, comment, and subscribe, because we'd really like that.